God is so good. I want to preach about a cowardly blind man, a cowardly prophet, a blind man, and an empty fuel tank tonight. And I know y'all are going, how in the world does that go together? Well, I don't know. We'll see. Jonah. You know, it's no wonder I've been messed up all day looking at these notes. I type my notes out so they're pretty and I can follow them and I don't have to go, what was I? How many of y'all ever write something down and you go, what in the world was I thinking? So I type them all out really pretty. Well, my text is out of Jonah and my notes say Joshua. Thank you, Lord, for pointing that out, that I'm crazy. Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to read the first three verses. When I was studying Jonah in my personal study time here not too long ago, how many of y'all have ever read the whole book of Jonah? Oh, it's so big. Four chapters. Four chapters, and it's probably one of the funnest and easiest reads in the entire Word of God. It's just easy to understand, and I don't care if it's King James Version, New King James Version, New International Version, Jonah is easy. It's about this guy that said, you want me to do what? Forget you, God. I'm going that way. You said go that way, I'm going that way. And he gets in a boat and takes off. And God sends a storm after the boat. And in the storm, then the men inside the boat said, what in the world's going on here? And Jonah said, it's my fault. And they said, bye. Threw him over the edge. Actually, the word says that they fought tooth and nail not to throw him over the edge. But when the sea would not be calmed, they had no choice. So they... And God sent a whale. Now, people say, but the book of Jonah says a big fish. Yeah, but Jesus says in the New Testament a whale. I don't know who to believe, Jesus or Jonah, and it doesn't really matter if you really want to get caught up. Really doesn't matter. What matters is God provided a submarine to take Jonah where he needed to be. Can I get a witness? Amen. Lord spoke that to me the other day. I said, that's too funny. I got to preach that. And then the whale puked him up. Jonah said, fine, I'll do it. And he goes and he says, repent or God's going to kill you. And I don't believe he was too happy about it. I believe he said it just about like that. Repent, or God's going to kill you. And the king of the city of Nineveh got convicted in his heart, and the whole city turned back to God. And it's one of the greatest revivals we find in the entire Word of God, where an entire nation was saved because of one man's obedience, even though he wasn't willing in the first place. And he gets up, and he goes out and sits on the hillside waiting for the fire to come. There's a lot of sermons that can be preached out of Jonah about waiting for God to get even with your enemies when that was never God's plan in the first place. God's plan was to deliver them by your hand, whether you were willing or not. That's if I could reach my own back, that's pretty good preaching. Thank you, I'll take it, brother. God wants to change your situation. But as I was studying the book of Jonah this time, I saw something in that third verse I had never seen before. And it cracked me up. I got to laugh until tears were rolling down my face. Because this guy's nuts. Let's read that third verse, Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. But Jonah rose up and to flee to Tarshish. Look at this line. From the presence of the Lord. I don't know if he thought because he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that his hand was limited to Israel. But he's going to take off in a world that God created to get away from him. Brother Payne, in my book, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I'm going to run from God, so I'm going the opposite direction. And God said, what do you think you're doing? And sent that submarine. Let's read here because it gets real fun. From the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. There it is again. Now the whole ship is going from the presence of the Lord, Brother Payne. And I'll tell you why I know that's the truth. Because if we take a look here, way down in about the 9th verse, says, and he being Jonah, said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why have you done this? Now watch this, because this gets pretty amazing. Why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. If you can bow your heads and close your eyes with me just for a moment. Father, I thank you for your word, for it's simple, straight, and true. God, I pray that you allow me to preach your word. And let me preach it according to the way you'd have it preached. Anoint all of our ears, Lord, that we may hear it, receive it, and put it into action. And we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. They knew. He got to the ship and he said, look, I'm running from God. Can I catch a ride? That's what it amounts to. It says, for they knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. He ain't getting in my car. If he's running from God, he ain't getting in my vessel. I don't care how much he pays me. I don't have time to end up chasing my own tail because of your stupidity. If God sends you a word, my brother, my sister, get up and go do it. It'll save you a lot of headache in the process. Amen. Matthew said to me, God said, move to Iowa City. I said, are you sure? Because you can travel with us from anywhere in this state. And God said, move to Iowa City. So 4 weeks ago, Brother Payne, he didn't even have a place to move into. And he had to be out of his apartment in 3 weeks. The man calls him on Friday and said, you can't have them my house. Monday morning, he calls him back. He says, I've had a change of heart. When can you move in? When can you move in? And God took what seemed to be a curse and turned it into a blessing. He had a place to stay. And you know what? He may not be able to have a garden and work it up as a farm, but he's got 2.5 acres out there in the country. Ariel said it this morning. I heard them sheep this morning. She loves the sheep. She's telling us how she had to wrestle them in college. Because she studied in animal veterinary science stuff. Matthew studied dirt and she studied animals. Could be said she studied Matthew too, but. Whole lot of studying going on in them colleges today. He said, well, what am I going to do? I don't have a job. I said, let's pray about it. If God really spoke this, the minute you get here, these were my words to you. The minute you get here, everything will be in order. He got here on Friday. By Monday, he had a job. Tell me God doesn't work today. You know what your problem is? Your problem isn't that God's not willing to work in your favor. Your problem is you're not willing to wait for it. And the other problem is everything's not laid out nice, neatly, and in advance for you. It's on his time. That means he speaks it, you go do it. Then look at this. Jonah was asleep in the ship. But for 3 days he was awake in that submarine. Think about it. He was secure and safe on dry land and could have walked to Nineveh not only in safety but in blessing, but he chose to get in that ship where he got wet. It was so bad in the midst of that ship. Jonah chapter 2 says, verse 2, out of the belly of hell, I cried to you, O God. Listen to me carefully. There have been some of you that have fought the devil tooth and nail all week to get here because he didn't want you to show up. And you have fought from the body of hell and cried out to God. There have been times during this sermon, service, you've even said to yourself, man, it wasn't worth my coming. I could have stayed home and been rested. Listen to me. God's about to show up. Wouldn't it be nice if he doesn't have to shake your vessel all over the place to get you back in line with his word? God doesn't need cowardly prophets. See, I'm reminded, Brother Payne, of the blind man, the blind Bartimaeus, sat on the roadside begging. Oh, he was a good beggar, Brother Curtis. He was good at it. That was his profession. I'm a professional bum. I don't go beg. I just panhandle a little bit. No, I don't. You won't stand me on a street corner with a cardboard sign anywhere. I do a lot of this and that. I'm a jack of all trades and a master of nothing. Work on cars, work on lawnmowers, mow lawns, fix this, fix that, sing a little, preach a little, counsel. How many of y'all know a minister's got to be all things to all people so that he may reach some? Some of this stuff I'm learning. My pastor in Iowa City said, I can't sweat pipe. I said, there's nothing to it. So we swept pipe and put in a water heater. The church in 60 years had never had a water heater. Now burn the flesh right off your fingers. What are you talking about, Brother Mike? Listen to me carefully. Bartimaeus was the best at what he was able to do. And you are no different than he is. There are areas in your life where you're not able to be the best or as good as somebody else. God didn't call you to be a Brother Mike or a Brother Payne or a Brother John Curtis. God called you to be you. Be the best you that you can be. Amen. And Bartimaeus sat there on the wayside and he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Poor, but the Bible says there was an amazing noise and a roar of a crowd. And he said, who is it? Who is it? Someone said, oh, this is Jesus of Nazareth. Just go back to begging. Look at a blind man's faith. Look at the man that said, shut up. You have nothing to bring to Jesus. Shut up. He was a beggar. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up. Who do you think you are? This man don't have time enough to talk to a blind man. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up. I don't want to look at you, much less take you to Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when he cried out louder, Jesus stopped in his tracks. Thus saith the Lord, there are people in this place that have been shut in darkness and forgotten how to cry out. Jesus stopped. He said, bring him here. And as they brought a blind man with nothing to offer to where Jesus was, Jesus said, what can I do for you? That I might receive my sight. That I might Bible says Jesus said, you're whole. Receive your sight. Why did we quit crying out to God? Why did we quit? I know why. We done got too cute to cry. We done got too cute to dance. We're too sanctified for that. Whew. I was in a service last Friday night. Varick tore up that pew, dancing all over the place. Why? He just wanted to get a little closer to Jesus. You know what? Let me tell you this, saints. Shame on you if you look down on your brother who's given God everything he's got. Amen. Amen. You let that brother and sister cry out and don't let them. You help them. Yes. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Why mercy? Because he had nothing to offer. Brother Payne, I was talking with a young man's mom not very long ago, and she said, I was talking to my husband, and there was just dissension in my house all the time, nonstop, and I was getting sick of it, and I marched out to the barn to tell my husband off. And when I did, God said, you made him like that. He doesn't feel needed, he doesn't feel wanted, and he for sure is not loved in this house, and you made him like that. She said, I turned around, went back in, and repented. I left him alone until I could tell him I was sorry. And you know what God did? He took that family back out of the clutches of hell and put it back together again. It's not that God's not speaking. It's that you're too busy to listen. And tonight I can hear him crying, wait a minute. Bring them to me. Why mercy? I don't deserve that he should even look my way. I'm short, fat, and redheaded. That's it. The end of the line. I'm not the most eloquent of preachers, and I'm certainly not the best piano player out there. Not the best singer. But he called me. And I'm going to follow where he leads me. Young man, young woman, tonight listen to me. The world is against you. They do not want to see you succeed. But I know that this church does. I know that this church will stand behind you and pray for you until victory comes. How many of y'all remember what it was like to get a hold of God at an old-fashioned altar? I remember all the altars we had were wooden. If you slid sideways, you'd get a splinter. And every year, they had to take linseed oil and rub the tear stains out of the altar. Because it was tear stained. Was soaked with the tears of the saints of God who wanted to get back in touch with God. You wonder why you're empty tonight? It's because you haven't had a power encounter, which is what I'm going to preach about tomorrow. You haven't had your batteries refilled yet because you're too stubborn to bow a knee. What do my brother or sister say? Who cares what they think? If they stand in judgment of you, they will stand in judgment before God. Amen. Who cares what they think? You see, Brother Payne, I came to this conclusion a long time ago. Nobody's going to keep me from my blessing. I remember as a kid, my brother, God bless him, dealt the biggest blow to my ministry I've ever had in my life. God was moving. He was saying things to young people. And my brother said, oh, here he goes with that prophecy thing again. I couldn't help it. I was reading their mail right down the line, telling them what was going on in their lives and that they needed to get it right. That was just the way God was moving on me. And when he said it, it hurt. And I said, well, that's fine. I'll never do that again. For the last 15 years, I've sought God, saying, God, give it back. God, give it back. God, give it back. And I heard him say recently, let go of the hurt. It's not yours anymore. Blind Bartimaeus by the roadside had been called everything, friends. Everything but a human being. He was treated less than dirt. People would give him a penny just to shut him up. Nothing to offer. When Jesus said, what will I do for you? Understand what he said. He said, take away my income. I want to see. What if God says to you, like he said to Matthew just recently, get up and go. I'm proud of these two to have enough faith to pray, get a word from God, and do it no matter what the circumstances. And he's going to tell you a little bit more on Sunday morning, I'm sure. No matter what the circumstances. But friend, if it was you, let me ask this question, just real honestly. If it was you, would you be willing? Would you? They offered him a doctorate in Iowa City. They offered him a full-time job in Ames. They offered him a full-time job with benefits in Ames. And he said, God called me to Iowa City. There's a lot of people that'll call this young man a fool. I'm ready to call him a hero. Because he did what was right in the sight of God. And he will be blessed for that. I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I was driving back home to tell my wife that I was through with ministry. Well, she was my girlfriend. She was going to be my wife. We knew it. I was done with ministry. That was it. I was finished. And when I left Minneapolis, I had a half a tank of gas in my old 1989 Cutlass Sierra. Little blue piece of junk. Drove it all over the nation for the Lord. Had 220,000 miles on it when I sold it for more than I bought it for. Blessed by God. And I'm going to tell my wife, I'm quitting the ministry. I'm done. See, I'd been on the backside of the desert for 6 months. No church to go to. No way to get fed. And I was frustrated. And the devil came and he breathed in my ear. What did you need church for anyways? You can make money out here. Oh, I was making some money. $16 an hour, 70 hours a week, overtime, benefits. I was making some money. I was happy. So I figured, what do I need God for anyways? And I was driving back home and I got 10 miles outside of Minneapolis and I literally watched that gas gauge. In a car that got 25 miles to a gallon, it went from half to in the red. I said, what in the world? This God I'm getting ready to walk out on. I said, God, you got to help me here because I don't want to walk. And he spoke to me something that I've never forgotten, and I've preached a lot since. Son, are you willing to go all the way on faith? And I said, don't you mean in faith? He said, no, I mean on faith. You go a long way in faith and never exercise it. When you go on faith, it is all you have. Are you willing to go all the way on faith? They couldn't shut blind Bartimaeus up. They couldn't shut him up because it was all he had. The hope that Jesus would have mercy on him. My car went, puh! I said, God, I need a gas station. There was one on the other side of the road, and I said, now what am I going to do? I didn't have a dime. I had my paycheck in my pocket. I was trying to make it to Rochester to get that in the bank. God's so funny. Here I am quitting the ministry, and he's talking to me. Take the back seat out of your car. I said, while I'm driving? No. Turn the corner to pull in the gas station. The car went, puh! Y'all jumping back there. When I pulled up to the gas pump, the car went, puh! And died. At the pump. Within reach of the nozzle. I said, all right, God. So I had every stitch of clothes I ever owned in the back seat of my car, and I'm throwing all this stuff out of my car to get to the back seat. I take the seat out, and I throw it up against the pump. It was $3.75 in quarters under my back seat. Unbeknownst to me, everybody inside the gas station is watching me and laughing. You see, when you step outside of the will of God, it's ridiculous. I got my $3.75 in my pocket, put $3.75 in my tank, went in and paid the guy. He goes, man, what happened? I said, listen, if God speaks to you from now on, you better do it. Come back, team. He said, spoke to me. I said, you want him to? He said, after what you've been through, I don't know. Listen to me carefully. It's not a matter of whether or not you're going to come into an encounter with God. It's a matter of when. And it's a matter of whether or not you will be willing to respond to what he has to say. Are you willing to go all the way in faith? On faith. Tonight, are you willing to reach out? Are you willing to reach out and meet Jesus where your lack is at? Are you willing to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me? Let's talk about that cowardly prophet for just a minute. Yeah, he went to Nineveh. Went up on that hill, he said, all right, fun's going to begin. God's going to destroy this city. Yeah, I said, Jonah, what are you doing? He said, I'm waiting for the fireworks. God built him this beautiful little plant, came up over his head. A gourd. Oh, it was so pretty. Jonah loved his gourd. This is my gourd God gave me because I'm such an amazing man of God. I got shelter from the sun and my gourd. Then God created a worm. How many of y'all ever heard Jonah and his submarine preach like this? God created a worm. And it ate that thing at the very root of the stalk. And the gourd withered and died. And Jonah sat on the hillside, and the Bible records in Jonah chapter 4 his conversation with God. And read it, make sure I'm not leading you wrong. But he said, God, you took my gourd. And God says this to Jonah. He said, you didn't work for it. I gave it to you. And yet you mourn for this gourd, but souls have been saved, and you give me no praise and honor and glory. Listen to me carefully. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what has brought you through this week. And some of you have felt like you've been crying out of the belly of hell, to quote the book of Jonah. God is near to you right now. And he very much so wants to change your situation. I hear him say in the Spirit, bring them to me. Are you willing to come? Kneel down at an altar and cry out, Jesus, have mercy on me. I don't deserve favor. I'm not worthy of you. But you love me enough to die for me. Have mercy and change my situation. Would you come tonight and give back to God that portion you've been holding back, thinking you're protecting it? All it's doing is making you stagnate and rot from the inside out. Will you give God everything tonight? Or will you continue to be stuck in darkness, wide awake, and you can't do anything but smell the smell of bitterness, the smell of fear, the smell of rot? Because these things rot our spirit. You willing to give him everything tonight? I don't know about you, but I am.